Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, to begin with Psalm 100, starting in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. All of Psalm 100. Then looking at Psalm 149, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. All of Psalm 149. Then finally, Psalm 150, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All of Psalm 150. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful gift of your word. And we thank you in a special way for the specific gift of the book of Psalms, a wonderful book that has one of its key themes, the theme of worshiping you. We thank you for the privilege and the blessing we have of being able to wake up in the morning and give you thanks and praise for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, for eternal life, for the privilege of knowing you and being a part of your family. And thank you, Lord, for the spiritual gift of joy. And thank you for the opportunity to move and to function in this wonderful gift as well. Teach us and empower us and guide us to live in the power of your joy more and more, faithfully and effectively, each and every day. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we exalt you today. We lift high your name. We join David in saying, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. We lift high your mighty name today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to remind and encourage you to, those of you that are married, part of a married couple, again, by design monthly challenges are ways for married couples and their families to engage and grow closer together as a couple and in their walk with Christ. By Design's mission is to educate and encourage people to embrace God's design for marriage and family as the fundamental building block for all of human civilization. We're encouraging married couples to take the By Design challenge and have a date night sometime this month. Choose a day in the month, schedule a babysitter, and either make reservations at a restaurant or just create your own date night at home. But we're encouraging you to do it. And when you do it, take pictures and send them to our By Design Facebook page. Put hashtag BD date night. Again, that's hashtag BD date night. Again, hope you'll get involved. For more information on this challenge and upcoming challenges, go to afa.net/by design. Again, that's afa.net/by design. And of course, we continue to encourage you to please take time to visit our AFA Resource Center. It's an online bookstore where you can find lots of resources to help equip you and your family in your walk with the Lord, tools to help you to become kingdom warriors in the battle for the building of God's kingdom and the tearing down of the kingdom of darkness. There are lots of great resources that will be helpful to you and your family. And would like to mention two in particular, two of the books that I've had the privilege of writing. One is entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Send Boldly for Life. And the second book is The Intercession Chronicles. But also there are lots of other very, very good and very resourceful books and other items at the AFA Resource Center. Visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. The AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. And I continue to encourage you, if you would, please do pray much for my wife, Bertie, and I, as we are traveling this weekend to Canton, Texas, to be a part of the Hope Pregnancy Center annual fundraising gala. And it's this Saturday on the 25th. Hope that you'll pray for the Lord to anoint the event, to greatly prosper it spiritually and financially for that great ministry, Hope Pregnancy Center in Canton, Texas. Hope you'll do that. Your prayers are very much desired. It's been a long time, but we're honored and blessed to have with us once again Jade Holifield in studio with us. The whole gang, they're excited that Jade is back. So they're really excited. Showing up, we're hearing from just about all of them. Good to have you again, Jade.
It's always a joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. And, of course, you know, part of the reason is you're busy, busy these days. Jade, of course, she's the assistant director of, she's the assistant to the directors of special initiatives here at the American Family Association. She does a great job with that. And Jade also happens to be an evangelist and a servant that very much, a child of God that very much loves the Lord. And so we're honored to have her to come on.
Thank you.
Jade is going to be sharing her heart on a particular topic that she had the chance to preach / do devotion on here recently. So good to have you, Jay.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. It really is.
Always good to have you on. And if you take a moment just to further introduce yourself to listeners, lots of folks will know you, but then there might be a few that don't know you, too.
Yeah. So as you said, I'm the assistant to the directors of special initiatives, and the directors of special initiatives are Will and Mickey Addison. So we pretty much, the Marriage Family Life Conference, that's us. Date nights, that's us. We just had a date night, actually, this past Monday, September 20th, in Jackson, Tennessee. We had one last month. We got one more left this year, and it's going to be in Little Rock, Arkansas. Quick little plug, November 9th. So if you're in the Little Rock, Arkansas area, definitely sign up for the upcoming date night. But yeah, so we do a lot of things. That, by design, yeah, it's just helping strengthen marriages and their families with various, you know, events that we do.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the work, the specific work of this particular part of the ministry of the American Family Association. Thank you for Jade and the whole team she works with. Father, anoint this ministry with a fresh anointing, Lord. Bless it indeed. Expand its territory. Yes. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Father, thank you for how that by your grace we have the opportunity to reach out and minister to Christian married couples in a day and time in which the devil is trying to squelch marriage and put it on the back burner and make it seem insignificant. But we thank you for the fact that you established marriage, and it's for your glory and the building of your kingdom. Lord, more and more, cause the church to rise up and do more to promote and support the great blessing of Christian marriage. And help us to do our part to help that here at the American Family Association through this part of the ministry that Jade is a part of. We thank you. Praise you to anoint it with a fresh anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, Jade, good to have you with us here.
Thank you. You
had a message on your heart that you wanted to share with us today.
Yes, sir. How to fight for joy. Mm-hmm. And we were joking because I made a little joke before we started the show. And I said, it's not going to be no Joel Osteen type thing. And what I mean is thinking that joy is going to be found based upon, you know, getting that promotion at your job or finally getting that brand new house that you've always wanted. Those are temporal things. And I would even say that it's more of happiness because you're happy when something is happening. Mm-hmm. What I'm referring to is the joy that only comes from Christ. And I truly believe that we're going to always be fighting for that joy because we live in this fallen world and there are many distractions. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, so there's this book I've been reading by John Piper. He's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And it's called When You Don't Desire God, How to Fight for Joy. So a few months ago, believe it or not, even though I work here at American Family Association, I was not happy with my walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, going to church, reading my Bible here and there, but I was not satisfied with my life. Here I am, believer, married to a believer, and I was just not fulfilled. And I sadly was putting my hopes that I would have joy once my marriage gets to this level or once we finally have children. I kept thinking, like, once I get this, which is what we all struggle with, this fight of thinking, once I get to this point, I'll have joy. And one day the Holy Spirit revealed to me, Jade, even when I do bless you with a child, it's still not going to fulfill your joy. Just like you thought getting married, because, you know, I got married later in life. Getting married, you were going to have that joy. Then you realize he a sinner just like you, you know. And I found one of my aunts actually blessed me with this book by John Piper. And I was shocked she had the book because it's two different camps. First off, John Piper's belief and her belief. Anyway, she gave it to me and I just started reading it. And pretty much, the Lord used this man to write this book to pretty much just let me know that your joy, Jay, the reason why you're not satisfied is because you're looking for these temporal things that are not eternal to fulfill you, that's only going to fulfill you for a moment when your joy is only in Christ. And can I just say, it's one of those things where mentally I was like, duh, I know that. But it was like all of a sudden revelation occurred. Mm-hmm. And so then I started, Pastor Parker, you know, you always say read 3 chapters a day. Well, there's some group, I don't know who it is, but they have this Bible reading plan, mm-hmm. where you read the entire Bible in 9 months. I have been reading the Word of God. It's about 6 chapters a day now. It's a lot of reading, so it's a little bit more than your 3. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I read part in the morning, in the evening. But what I've noticed is my love for the Lord being cultivated. Mm. And I am noticing he's changing my lens and my sight. I'm having a more eternal way of thinking about the things of God, about my world, about my life, mm-hmm. about what's going on. We are not pregnant yet. I don't know if it is going to happen. You know, I still don't have the things that I desire, but I have Christ. Mm-hmm. And again, this is going to take revelation from the Lord, because I'm sure many people who are listening right now, they're like, I have Christ too. But see, when you say that, but that right there to me is an inclination that you have yet to fully be satisfied in God. Mm-hmm. That's where we have to find. We have to be honest with ourselves. Am I really satisfied with God? Because if I was, come on, here we go. And Holy Spirit stepped on my toes with this one. If I was satisfied with God, I wouldn't be looking to people or things to fulfill my joy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
Now, I'm still on this journey, y'all. I don't want you to be thinking like, oh, I've arrived. I have not arrived. Mm-hmm. But the Lord is helping me realize how he is all that we need. That's again, right. We hear it. But you need the revelation. So I was reading the book of John. I just finished all 21 chapters. Mm-hmm. Man, when I got to chapter 17, first off, when Jesus was praying to God for us. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, on off in the chapters, you know, they're beating up Christ. At one point, I stopped and I thought, okay, let me ponder over the weight of my sins. You know those sins that maybe a few people know about, or even those sins that nobody knows about but only you and God. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that put my Savior on the cross. So I started mm-hmm. thinking about that, and then I thought about how the wrath of God was satisfied because of Jesus Christ. That's how right. Jesus took my place. See, when you start meditating upon what made Christ die on the cross, it was mm-hmm. me, it was my junk, my sins. Let's say sins, don't even say mistakes. And thank you for that rude music. We'll be right back. I'm sorry.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Jade Holofield. We'll be right back. Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Jade Holifield, and Jade is sharing with us the topic, How to Fight for Joy. And just a scripture I'd like to share in relation to her topic is found in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. It tells us, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5. And, you know, amongst other things, I think it's helpful for us to know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's a spiritual force as well. It's a weapon as well, and it's many things that we as believers need to understand that we're not to think of it as a luxury, that if you ever sense it, if you ever feel it in your heart, great. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's from the Holy Spirit. And amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a river.
Right there.
He's a river, and we can dip into the river of the Holy Spirit to get joy anytime we choose to.
Come on.
Praise, worship, thanksgiving. So, and we're wise to, because Nehemiah 8:10 tells us the joy of the Lord is your strength. Very much so. So if you'll pick up where you left off.
Yeah. Thanks, Rick, for the rude music cutting me off there. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing, y'all. That's the producer. I love what you said. It does come from the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. It is only the Holy Spirit that can help us get to that place of joy. So, when you get that bad report from the doctor, you know, those of us, when you cultivate having your joy found only in Christ, you'll realize, like, man, at the end of the day, whatever happens, I know where my eternal state is, those of us who are in Christ. You see what I'm saying? Like, and it's changing the perspective. So, I've been on this journey, and so I think the first step, I wrote this down, I think first you must ponder over the state of your soul before Christ, what it was before you came to Christ. Mm-hmm. That's why people who think too much of themselves, they scare me. They scare me because I feel like they are truly blinded by the enemy. Those who are like, man, I'm a nice person. I'm gonna say it like my mama said it one day. My mama said, nice people go to hell every day. And that's true, you know. But people who think like that, like I'm nice or I do this or I help the poor or things like that, you're basing your how good you are, quote unquote, upon what you do. And according to scripture, you know, our hearts are evil. And if we could know the thoughts of ourselves, if people knew some of my thoughts, I mean, you know, Pastor Parker, if I knew some of your thoughts, they'd probably all be good, though. No, I'm just playing. But overall, we have to get it to a place where we realize we brought Christ to the cross and that Christ, he became the penalty that we needed. That is the motivation right there to me. One of the motivations that can help you push along, like, I have no choice but to live for God because of what Christ did for me on the cross.
You know, in other words, if we genuinely love the Lord in view of the great sacrifice he did, what is there that we would not be willing to do because of all the love he clearly demonstrated through the sacrifice of giving his all, giving himself entirely?
Right.
A living sacrifice.
Yes, sir. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I thoroughly, and see, I didn't grow up with this teaching of knowing the state that I was in. Like, I knew I was a sinner. But I didn't fully know until I started reading the scriptures more. And then I got to like James chapter 3. I can't remember what verse where it talks about how jealousy is demonic. Mm-hmm. And the Lord revealed to me areas in my life where I was jealous of others. I don't mind confessing this. Like one problem I have and the Lord is helping me with is being jealous of women who are pregnant. I'm young still. Every time, especially the church I go to, everybody pregnant there. Like them women pregnant. I'm like, what is in the water? I drink it too. Mm-hmm. But the Lord, you know, I do believe he is the giver of life. He opens the womb. There is a reason behind why he hasn't given us a child, and it's actually a blessing. Even though I say this, it doesn't make me feel good, but I know that that's true. And so my point, like, I believe when we read the scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and for us, like, show me my sin, show me who I am, it makes Christ way more beautiful. Why would I want to come to Christ if I think I'm good? Woo, God, why would I want to come to a Savior if I really think that I don't need him? And I told my husband once, I was like, man, look, when we disciple, I got a stepchild. When we disciple her, you got to let her know her state. Why would she want to come to Christ if she thinks she good all the time when she's not? Mm-hmm. Especially those individuals who are outwardly obedient, especially kids. They're outwardly obedient. You got to really press into the Holy Ghost to get to the heart. Mm-hmm. Because you could be outwardly obedient, but rebellious in the heart.
Well, and you know, Jade, something that I think is a very helpful truth for believers to be mindful of, too, is that, you know, Christ is the means of salvation for all people, for all times, right, for all eternity. Well, the fact is, in the Old Testament, sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, well, the people got saved by the law. That's not true at all. They look forward to the salvation Christ had to provide. Mm-hmm. God gave them the law, but the law, a key goal for the law was to help them see that they needed a Savior.
Come on,
because
Pastor Parker,
they couldn't keep the law. God gave them the law and they couldn't keep it. You know, no person ever fully kept the only person ever fully kept the law was Jesus himself.
That's it.
Everybody else fell short.
That's it.
Even Moses, Daniel, all the rest, they were good guys, but they needed the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the law was like the tutor that helped us see, you need Jesus. Look at this law. Look how far you fall short. You need Jesus.
Yes.
And so it's so good to understand God's word. It's wisdom. It's grace. It's the law. It's insight. It's Jesus. Reading and studying the word of God helps us to see who Christ is. It helps us to see who we are and helps us to see the desperate need we have for a Savior.
Yes.
All the time.
You know, oh, I love that you brought up the Old Testament. I think it's dangerous when there are churches who disregard the Old Testament. Well, we're in the New and Better Covenant. You don't have to, don't stay in the Old Testament. Like, that's, you need to leave. Like, don't go to churches. Because when I read the Old Testament, like what you just said, to think if we taught more of the laws and we realize, man, I don't fulfill that one. Oh, man. Okay, I do this one, but I don't do that one. You're going to find them. I promise you will.
And see, what's important, too, is to understand Old and New Testament, it's all Jesus.
Right.
You don't cut off a part of Jesus. You take him as a whole.
Yes, sir.
Old and New Testament. And all of it's the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the insight of God, the understanding of God. And I think of this, too, like, you know, you mentioned, for example, about how obviously, you know, reading the word, you know, of course, it, amongst other things, it feeds, it strengthens our joy. Well, that's true. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But joy comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God as well.
Mm-hmm.
The different fruit of the Spirit, they all come by hearing and hearing the word of God. The word of God cultivates and strengthens all of those fruits of the Spirit. And so if you want more joy, get into the word more,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And let me share this too,
yes, sir,
Jade, that I think it's a very helpful truth for believers to be mindful of. And, you know, like you shared an area of challenge in your own life, desiring to have a child. A really wise thing for believers to do when you have an area of challenge, find scriptures that speak to that.
Yes.
And much of scripture speaks to that. For a long time, Sarah was barren.
Hannah.
Initially, Rebecca was barren until Isaac prayed for her. And see, Isaac was a great man of prayer. And after he prayed, she didn't just get pregnant. She had twins. Mm-hmm. You know, Isaac was a great man of prayer. And of course, Ruth had a child at the end of the book. But there were a number of Hannah. You know, obviously, she desired a child. Well,
Rachel,
one of the reasons why. Right.
Leah and Rachel.
What is helpful is believers, when they have an area of challenge, read and study and meditate on those passages and say, Lord, speak to me, because God has something to say to that issue, to all issues. And there's always a message from God. Mm-hmm. And see, meditation, Jade, is one of those things that it seems like so many believers fail to grasp, but it's so important. Meditation is you've read it once, then you read it again, and you read it again. And understand this, in the midst of that, what often is happening is your mind says, I don't want to read this anymore. I know what it says. But your spirit says, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. And so literally, say, for example, you may go over a passage a dozen times, and your mind is thinking, I know it's there. But again, what you find is you keep listening and studying, and you hear God say, now let me show you something you've never seen before. Yeah. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Because the Word of God is active and alive.
And it's treasured such that you never in this lifetime get to the bottom of it. There's more to be found in any path. Just like lots of people, they think they know the 23rd Psalm. We just scratched the surface in this lifetime. There's so much wisdom, insight, blessing, and grace. In fact, there are blessings inside of the Word.
Yes.
And if you keep digging, that's where you'll find those blessings in the Word.
Yes, sir.
You know? So reading and meditating over and over on a given passage is such a wise and fruitful thing to do.
And reading it out loud.
That's
reading the Word of God out loud. Y'all, I can't tell you how many times when we have made my bonus kid or my bonus daughter read out loud. Mm-hmm. Of course, she doesn't want to. And you shared how you used to do this with your kids. And all of a sudden, you could just, her countenance was changing. Mm-hmm. I remember one time we were reading through Genesis, and she got to the story of Noah. And she knew, she had heard of the story. Like, her dad had told her years before he and I got married. And all of a sudden, she said, her daddy said something, and she said, wait a minute, dinosaurs were there during Noah? And her daddy said, how do you think that they came about? Yeah, that was back. And her eye, like, so God, this is my point, is the joy is only found in God. It's found in his Word. It's found in reading it. And again, I know some people, maybe you're like, I'm not a reader. Well, you better become one. Get a Bible app. Play that copy. Look, get Street Lights Bible. That's a really cool one. It's a Bible app that reads it, and they're very dramatic. It's so good. It's free. But it's you got to do your part if you want the joy, because I'm telling you, the joys in this life, they're not even joys. They're temporal. They're not eternal. Like, we got to get an eternal mindset. Those of us in Christ, you cannot stay focused on the things you see presently. Like, Scripture even tells us in Colossians, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. You know, for I am dead. My life is hid with Christ in God. Like, that's, it's an eternal mind frame. And you got to renew your mind in the Word to change your way of thinking. And that's what the Lord is doing for me as I get into his Word more. He is helping me to see the eternal. Okay, Jade, if you were to not have a child. But I love what you said. I am praying for one. I'm sticking with it. But if not, I am not less of a woman of God. I am a child of the King. I am not less than. I am not. See, I'm also, the Lord is also, even though I do ponder over my state that I brought to, you know, my sins, put Christ on the cross. But because I'm in Christ, he then reminds me of my position in him, how he loves me. And, you know, we hear it, but I'm reading it in the Word like, man, for God so loved Jade that he gave his only son. It takes revelation, y'all. That's all I'm going to say. Holy Ghost.
And you know, Jade, it's powerful to think about this, too, is that the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's a one-on-one appointment with Jesus. And when you're spending time in the Word with Jesus, he's not just giving information.
Right.
He's giving you revelation, grace, insight, encouragement, strength, joy, and many other things, too. And I think of this, too, that, you know, you were sharing about how that your daughter would read to you all sometimes, and how, without meaning to, she was getting into it. Well, the beauty is because she's interacting with Jesus, like it or not. And the beauty is there's nothing boring about Jesus.
No.
So when we truly encounter the God of the Bible, it will never be boring. Now, if we don't encounter him, people may say, oh, I didn't get anything out of that. But if you encounter Jesus, it's always powerful and it's life-changing.
Yes, sir.
I think of two people that come to mind, Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel. Interesting stories. Both of them were atheists, and they both didn't like Jesus so much they wanted to disprove Jesus. But both of them made the big mistake of reading the Bible. And they started reading the Bible, and it started working on them.
Right.
And it ended up setting them on fire. Both of them are powerful evangelists today. because the Word of God got a hold of them and changed their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the Word of God at work.
Yes, the gospel changes you.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, if you are, quote unquote, and I'm going to say quote unquote, if you claim to be a believer, but you're still living the same form of lifestyle, I would question your salvation to a degree and really seek the Lord. Because when we come to Christ, we really are new creatures. I was reading, can I say this real quick?
Yes.
I was reading in Galatians last night, and oh, man, we're about to get to a break, y'all. I was reading right here, Galatians chapter 1, and Paul said this, 1 verse 22, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he, talking about Paul, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And I wrote 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, when we come to Christ, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Like, seriously, your desire then becomes, I want to please God. I want to honor God. And I just... it takes the work of the Holy Ghost. It really does.
It does. Well, we're going to pick up there on the other side of the break. Our in-studio guest is Jade Holifield, and she's sharing on the topic, how to fight for joy. We'll be right back. C.C. Winans with Celebrate New Life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Jade Holifield, and she's sharing from the topic, How to Fight for Joy. Okay.
I was jamming it at you to me. Look, that's my mama and daddy time frame, BB and C.C. Winans. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say this last thing, and then I think it's going to tie in great what you're about to bring up next. That one quote that is so profound in the book of that John Piper wrote, when you don't desire God, how to fight for joy. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks volumes to me, because I want to be so satisfied in God that I would never, ever look towards any human who is fallible to fulfill my needs. That all, because all we really do need is God. Like, when I hear people say they get lonely a lot, especially when I hear a believer, I be thinking to myself, they must not be fully satisfied with the Lord, and they need to get in the Word more, you know, and get your praise and worship music on. But God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And it is possible to be satisfied with him when you do your part of getting into the Word, which is the best way to know him.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And, you know, that reminds me, too, that, you know, there's a place in which we find satisfaction, contentment in him. Yet at the same time, there's always to be that desire to press forward, to become more, to draw closer, to become stronger in him. Because, again, there's always more to be found in the Lord. God's always working on lifting us up.
Right.
All the time. And that happens as we simply walk with him. I'm going to read from the book of Acts chapter 16. And just to set it up, we're not reading the whole passage. But Paul and Silas were doing the work of the Lord, preaching the gospel, and one day a young lady with a demon in her started basically harassing them, following them, and Paul got, by the power of the Holy Spirit, cast that demon out. Well, there were some pretty wicked folks that were making money off her demonic abilities, and they were upset. They were not happy that she had been set free. They were unhappy that they weren't going to make money off her anymore, and therefore they had Paul and Silas arrested, beaten, and thrown into jail. But by the grace of God, Paul is a great example of a servant of God that knew how to walk in joy no matter what was going on. And that's what he did. So in the jail, we pick up in verse 25, you know, whereas some might think they should be in there complaining, talking about maybe they need to quit the ministry or look what the Lord did. None of that was happening. Mm-hmm. This is what was going on with Paul and Silas after being beaten and thrown into jail. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And, you know, the passage is a unique and a powerful one where, again, Paul and Silas were just walking in joy in spite of the traumatic things that had just happened to them, gotten beaten and thrown into jail. But that's a wonderful example how why it's wise to keep praising and thanking God no matter what's going on. Because God sent an earthquake. You could call it an earthquake of joy, and it came and hit the prison. And all the prisoners were set free, and the jailer and his family got saved that night. And so probably when it's all said and done, the devil probably thought, "I should have left Paul and Silas alone. I wasn't trying to get anybody saved." Mm-hmm. Well, and so God used joy in that. And notice in that last verse we read, it said, speaking of the jailer, he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So the joy of the Lord has now come to the jailer and his household as well.
Yeah.
There's a great power in joy and stirring up his joy and walking in joy no matter what's going
yes.
on.
Yes, and their joy was only found in Christ.
That's right.
That's exactly. Why Paul and Silas, like, that's a bad situation. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, they were in prison, but their joy was found in Christ. For you, to be in prison and be able to sing praises to the Lord, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. you are fully satisfied in only God himself.
Mm.
That's confidence.
And it is. And it's so good to know, too, that one of the reasons why the book of Psalms in particular, as we read at the beginning of the broadcast, is such a powerful and a very helpful book is King David wrote about half the Psalms. He wrote around 73 or so of the Psalms. But one of the key themes of the book of Psalms, of course, is worship. It's not the only, but it's one of the key themes of the book of Psalms, worshiping God. Well, worship stirs up our joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is a very important weapon that we as believers need to use.
Pass the park.
You know, Psalm 149 speaks of how that as we worship and praise in God, we wreak havoc on our enemy. Well, see, that's the power of worship because remember, worship releases the Holy Spirit to work and to do battle.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can battle like the Holy Spirit can. And so we're wise to make worship a part of our life and our lifestyle. Before we run out of time, real brief, I want to share from an article that I'd written called An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. And it highlights the life of a unique individual that many people, they would know the name. I'm going to share it briefly. Again, the article, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it so important to give thanks to God in the good times and the bad, in the sunshine and in the rain? Well, one reason is that life is a gift. Another reason is thanksgiving and praise are powerful weapons that help you to be an overcomer and winner in life. This is true no matter what the obstacles or trials you face. Allow me to share a tremendous illustration of this reality. Francis had what many would consider a tough, tragic, and troubled life. A doctor's error left her at 6 weeks of age with a lifelong blindness. Her father passed away when she was very young. She was raised by her mother and grandmother. Many in today's world would believe Frances had plenty of reason to be unhappy, depressed, and without hope. However, in her autobiography, Frances June Crosby chose to write these amazing words. She said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for the dispensation." In other words, I thank Him for the gift of blindness. The doctor who made the mistake later moved away. However, Francis wrote, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind." Though many may conclude that living a life with blindness would be a sad, disappointing life, Francis considered it to be one of her greatest blessings. She considered her blindness to be a gift from God. She said, "I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." By the way, many know Frances June Crosby so much better by the name Fanny Crosby, the great hymn songwriter. Fanny Crosby blessed the church and the world with songs that include "Blessed Assurance," "To God Be the Glory," "Redeemed," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," and many, many others. She's a tremendous example of one who lived with a grateful spirit and an attitude of gratitude. Having this attitude was a great blessing to her, and she, in turn, was a great blessing to the church and the world. Make it your goal to thank God in all circumstances, for even in tough times, God really does run our cups over in blessing in so many ways. Take time to thank and praise Him for His goodness. Don't focus on the negative things in life. Focus on the blessings you experience right now. It will change your whole outlook on life. Also, be grateful to God for His goodness. And remember, His goodness will stir up your joy. Be mindful, too, that being genuinely grateful makes you instantly rich in the truest sense of the word. Ask God to anoint you today with the spirit of praise and gratitude and the spirit of joy. Instead of complaining about the rain, thank God for watering His beautiful world for free. Instead of complaining about not feeling well, thank God you're alive. Instead of complaining about having to clean your house, thank God that you have a home to live in. Instead of being impatient with family members, thank God for the gift your loved ones are to you. Instead of complaining about your job, thank God that you have a job and an income. Instead of complaining about the world, thank God for the opportunity to pray and help change the world to be a better place. Give thanks in all things, and do remember, being a genuinely grateful person will bless you tremendously. Praise and thank God often daily throughout the day. Living life with an attitude of gratitude really is its own reward. Again, the title of the article, "An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward." And if you'd like to get a copy, email us at jparker@afa.net. Any final thoughts, Jade? Again, you shared a lot that can really bless anyone that will take to heart the wisdom of living a life of joy. Anything else you want to share?
That article you just read, to change the perspective of the things that's happening in your life, it takes the work of the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
It really does. Mm-hmm. There are everything that to us appears hard and is, and you're like, "God, why are you allowing this?" It takes the Holy Spirit to give you the biblical view of, man, the Lord is sanctifying me with this difficult supervisor. Mm-hmm. He wants me to grow and act more like Christ. Like, that takes the work of the Holy Spirit, everything you just said. It took the Holy Ghost to have that lady to see her blindness as a gift from God. That takes the work of the Holy Spirit.
While many people would feel sorry for her, she never felt sorry for herself.
Right.
In fact, there was a time, even as a child, she basically had the attitude of, thank you, Lord, for making me blind. That was something she once said. Mm-hmm. And you see the result. The Spirit of God used her mightily. And again, in her lifetime, she wrote over 8,000 hymns.
My goodness.
And so the Spirit of God used her mightily in the midst of her gratitude and praise. That's an example of the power of the Spirit of God working through the joy of the Lord in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
So our time is just about gone. Any final statement or two before we...
This was phenomenal. Fight for joy. It's only found in Christ.
Amen.
Fall in love with the Lord. Seriously. Oh, that song, "Falling in Love with Jesus," was the best thing I've ever done. Go Google that. That's a good one, because it is the best thing.
Amen. Amen. And in our final few moments of the broadcast, as usual, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trial or difficulty or problem, remember, Jesus really is the answer to whatever you're facing. He's the answer to bring you joy, fulfillment, and grace. If you'd like to make that step and ask Christ into your heart, would you simply pray this prayer with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, right now, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me all the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit, and fill me with your joy. Help me to live my life full of joy for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Just this morning, got a great email from someone who received Christ on yesterday, and we're always glad to hear from those persons when they do that. We want to help you begin to grow and grow strong. Simply email us again at jparker@afa.net. We're glad to share those resources with you. And for also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared, An Attitude of Gratitude is Its Own Reward, again, email us jparker@afa.net for that or any other prayer resources or articles that we've shared on broadcast. Just let us know. We're glad to share them. Jade, thanks so much for being with us
today. Thanks for having me.
Amen. And again, just the whole gang was excited that you came back. We got to get you back sooner next time.
Yes, okay? Sir.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.